to be as true as I can with you this morning, I struggle to bring this message. Not because of a weakness in God's Word, not because of an unfailing Father, maybe a little bit because of my nervousness to communicate well, but mainly because of a heart and desire to communicate the truth of God's Word, hope, and peace in the Father. I too, like Joe and Frank and the entire team, has said, we miss being together. This morning I miss being able to sit over a cup of coffee and listen to your questions, hear your thoughts, hear your hurts, hear your pains, hear your desires. However, that's not where we are. In our current situation today, we've seen video after video of tornadoes over the last few months in Nashville, Tennessee, that have brought the loss of life. We've seen the stories of the coronavirus bringing the loss of life. And we've seen injustice in humanity bringing the loss of life. You feel the hurt, the pain, the struggle, and death. And yet in the midst of that, there's a longing for something more. I sat with my daughter a few weeks ago watching the shocking video of Ahmaud Arbery being shot to death in Georgia. Now another video of George Floyd dying with a policeman's knee on his neck and him crying out, "I can't breathe." You and I have seen healthy protest. We've seen rioting. We've seen looting. While at the same time our nation asks, how can this keep happening? We are overwhelmed in the sense of the loss of life. So what do we do? How do we act? What do we say? Last night, in a rearrangement, in a sense, of the message that we had ready to go out for you today, and you have a listening sheet there, I looked at a passage from Luke chapter 4, and Luke chapter 4 is where Jesus proclaims his purpose, in a sense. He says he came to proclaim good news to the poor. He came to bring liberty to the oppressed and recovery of sight to the blind. This passage becomes the backdrop of Jesus' ministry, and he fulfills that passage both physically and spiritually. Jesus was about humanity, people. As followers of Christ, we have the same calling to live and proclaim the gospel. The story that God Himself came to rescue and renew creation in and through the work of Jesus Christ. God has called us to live that in word and deed. There was an individual that knew about protests, that knew about hurt and pain, and he wrote about it and lived in the midst of it, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he says it this way, the church is the church only when it exists for others. Not dominating, but helping, but serving. It must tell men of every calling what it means to live for Christ, what it means to live for Christ and exist for others. So in the next few minutes this morning, as I try to dive cautiously into a passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, which is where Pastor Frank took us last week, and we want to exert ourselves a little bit more in the verses after where he ended up, I'd love for you to think about this passage right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And this won't be on your listening sheet if you download it. And it won't be up on the screen because it wasn't exactly where we're going to go. But it speaks to where we are today. You see, Paul is writing to a people in an area called Thessalonica. And Paul himself had been banished from that city. And so he sent back a friend of his, a cohort in sharing the love of Christ by the name of Timothy. And Timothy came back to Paul and shared with him what was going on. And so Paul wrote to the people at Thessalonica. inspired by the Holy Spirit, he penned these words to encourage them and to equip them in their ventures. Now, theologians would say this, that the church of Thessalonica was a healthy, growing, vibrant community of faith. But Paul wrote to them in a sense saying, I long for you to excel even more, grow in your faith, grow in your love for others. 1 Thessalonica, verse 5, 14, he writes, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. What do we ask? How do we live? What do we say? God inspired Paul to write those in Thessalonica. And those words ring true for us today. He's urging us, admonish those that are faint, that are idle. Encourage those in their struggles. Help the weak. Help those in a sense of injustice. Be patient with all. Seek that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. See, as Paul writes in that passage in 1 Thessalonians, he wrote about their interaction with leaders. He wrote about their interaction with the people around them. But he also writes about their interaction with the one true God. And this morning, I would love, as one writer said, to allow yourself to be interrupted by God this morning. No matter where you are, follower of Christ, explore the things of Christ, to be interrupted by the one true God this morning. And let's do so by continuing to read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writes and communicates about our relationship with God. And I think this will be a struggling passage this morning, but a passage that has great depth internally of who we are as God's followers, as we are in a relationship with Him, and what it means for our interaction with those around us in the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 reads this way. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. An intense verse within the time that we find ourselves in. Let me read it again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul is writing about our relationship with God, our communication with the Father, our prayer to the Father, and what it entails. He says for our communication with the Father that we're to rejoice and we are to give thanks, which are synonyms here, about our gratitude toward God. Just this past week, I look back, I think I have an understanding of gratitude, but I thought, what does the dictionary say about gratitude? How does it define it? It says it this way. It's the quality of being thankful. It means readiness to show appreciation for. So Paul is writing, he said, our communication, our prayer, our laments, when we cry out to the Father, they should be categorized by gratitude in every situation. Now, I'd like you to take a moment and reflect on your own life and those around you. Would you say you are a grateful, thankful person? Is that the norm of who you are? Does that describe the rhythms of your life? And if it is, are you becoming more grateful, more rejoiceful, more thankful day by day? I mean, are you experiencing richness in life as you're grateful to the Father? You see, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest, full, rich life that's grateful to the Father. Or would people around you say, you are generally a grumpy, grouchy unthankful individual. That you just complain, that you whine, that your struggles are not only internally, but they're verbally. And I can share with you, I struggle. I struggle with that as well. It was 2 weeks ago. I was interacting with an individual about wearing the mask. And in a few situations in the urban context here, the mask is required. In some situations outside, it's not. If you walk into some of our grocery stores, they require a mask. If you don't have one, you put one on. In some of the other grocery stores, you'll have 5, 7 out of 10 people wearing a mask. And so as I had my mask on, I got home and I was interacting with someone and I said, I do not like wearing the mask. I struggle with it. I like to see people's smiles. I like to see their faces. I like to know what's going on within the lives of people. I want to be able to hear them clearly. I want to be able to see their lips move. I want to see their facial expressions. And in my interaction with this individual, I was complaining. I was whining. I was saying, I do not like this. And the individuals I was chatting with said, I feel the exact opposite. And I said, what do you mean? You like wearing the mask? And they said, no. I like each time that I put the mask on that I feel my breath more. And I find myself being thankful to the Father for breath of life. As I had that story even written in my notes last week, this morning I went to the injustice of the loss of life of an individual crying out for breath. My heart was broken as I drove into Nashville this morning. And I thought, Father, what do I do? Interesting here in this passage. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. That Paul is writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God is commanding us to have uncompromising, always, without ceasing, in all kind of circumstances, rejoicing, being engaged in prayer, and giving thanks. As I was driving, I thought, God, that's not where I am. That's where I long to be, Father. See, in gratitude, of rejoicing, of praying, of giving thanks, we're not thanking God just for the stuff that fills our storage spaces, but we're being thankful for the Father. And to be thankful for the Father creates a humility in who we are. It gives us a right posture and understanding God, and it permits grace to flood in our lives. I mean, why do you think God has commanded us to be thankful, to rejoice, to pray without ceasing? Because it communicates who God is. To do so, we have to grow in an understanding that God is sovereign, that God is in complete control of circumstances, of events within our lives, that God is good, and He longs for goodness of all of His people. Thus, we can know for certainty that in praising, of rejoicing, of communicating with Him, that we bring glory to God Himself, and that God longs to accomplish His purpose within our lives. Know that the writer right here, Paul, in spite of all his circumstances, emphasized thankfulness woven throughout his writings and his letters in Scripture. Here's a few verses. In Ephesians 1:16, it says this way, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So he's giving thanks for friends, for people in the area of Ephesus. Colossians 3:17 says it this way, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, the Father through Him. See, Paul had been through many circumstances, many struggles in his life, and he communicates a sense of thankfulness. He might be here this morning just diving and thinking, I'm hurting, I've gone through struggles, I've gone through pain. What do I do? Think about what Paul's circumstances were. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, it says this. Are they servants for Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors. Paul gives a glimpse of the struggles. He says, I've had far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hand of Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. I was in danger in rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship. Through many sleepless nights I had hunger, I had thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all these things, there's a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all churches. But Paul writes, woven throughout the epistles, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 says it this way, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how the writer Henry Nouwen puts it. When he writes about thankfulness and gratitude, he said, gratitude goes beyond the mine and the thine and claims the truth that all life is a pure gift. In the past, he says, I always thought of gratitude as a spontaneous response to the awareness of gifts received. And you understand what he's saying there. Someone gives you something and you say, thank you very much. But he goes on to say, but now I realize that gratitude can also be lived as a discipline. The discipline of gratitude is the explicit effort to acknowledge that all I am and have is given to me as a gift of love, a gift to be celebrated with joy. So Nashville First, Fellowship on Broadway, guests and friends, how about you right now? Are you giving God thanks because He's God? Regardless of hurt, pain, darkness, question. I mean, what's stopping you from giving thanks to the Father, gratitude toward Him? Are the destructions of hurt and pain, the distractions of hurt and pain in your life, distracting you from being thankful to the Father? Understand, we're all navigating these ventures, and we're all at different points within our journey. But Paul is writing, encouraging us, equipping, and he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's interesting right there. He says, for this is the will of Christ Jesus. So he's looking back to the commands. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That's God's command to us, and it's God's will for us. It's God's will that we rejoice in Him. It's God's will that we're thankful for Him. It's God's will that we communicate to Him. Now, theologians, when they look at that verse right there, it's very unique what they say about that word will. They say will right there speaks more to our gracious design in the Father than God's specific purpose for us. So the will is this, it's God's will. It's in our design to be thankful, to be grateful, to rejoice. And to obey His will is to yield ourselves to His design purpose. That we will, Father, rejoice. We will pray. We will give thanks. Those commands are a small part of God's will. The question I have for you today, how are you doing in those commands that God has given to us? See, in ourselves, I have, neither the desire nor the ability to accomplish His will. However, He writes, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." That Jesus is the source, Jesus is the purpose for obeying the will of God. It's in our relationship with the Father through Christ that we find the means to fulfill the will of God. Tragically today, peace seems to be so exclusive. One writer said it this way, "Today your life may be anything but peaceful. You may have interpersonal conflict in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, in your church, yet there is hope for you." Peace is not the absence of conflict, he said. It is the presence of Christ. Which is why Paul says, in Christ. So can you and I ask you to decide that we will be grateful people? Can we actually, with our own efforts, our only move, say, we will become a grateful community? Many writers say, and I lean into it as well, that gratitude, and as Paul writes, he continues to communicate this as well, is a rhythm, is a discipline of life that must be intentionally developed and cultivated. Paul in 1 Thessalonians says, understand the leadership that's around you. Servant leaders, lean in and come alongside. Equip, encourage, and be about the faint-hearted. And at the same time, in your relationship with the Father, rejoice always. Do not give up moments to not pray. And be about thankfulness. He's talking about the depth of our life. And as there is a depth of gratitude, of understanding who God is, there'll be humility in understanding who we are not, which will move us to understanding and living in God's grace. So what are the practical ways that we cooperate with God in being thankful? Over the past couple weeks, knowing that we were going to go into 1 Thessalonians 5 and researching and reading a variety of individuals, I was just overwhelmed by the goodness of writings. I'd like to share a few of them with you today. And I'd love you to go on a journey with me in Nashville first, in making gratitude an integral part of our lives, because it is God's command for us, and because it communicates the truth of who our Father is. Could you go on this journey with me and make thanksgiving a priority in your communication with God? Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That we communicate with the Father, that we are thankful, that we are gracious, that we are undeserving, that only in His goodness that we get to experience His grace, that you make thanksgiving a priority in communication with God. That you find yourself being story-formed, meaning this, regularly acquaint yourself with God's story by interacting within His Word. To understand gratitude, God's goodness, God's faithfulness, all the characteristics who our Father is, we understand those as we look at God in Scripture and as we look at Christ. The Scripture says as we look at Christ, we see what the Father is like. So could we be thankful in our make it a priority in our communication with the Father? Could we be story-formed through diving into God's Word? And could we focus on the entirety of God's story? One writer, I love that he said, is could you personalize it? Do you say, God has created me. God has designed me. God has pursued me. God has called me to walk in His ways. God has adopted me. God cares for me. He has forgiven me. My identity is in Him. I'm a learner. I'm a part of His family. I am a servant. The presence of the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I have freedom in Christ. I'm on this journey, not as an individual, but as part of His family. That's focusing the entirety of God's story. Then could you look outside of yourself and note everyday blessings? Can you note nature this afternoon as you walk in it? Because you notice life within you, within those sitting around the room beside you. Could you be thankful for breath? And each time that you're thankful for breath, pray for those who've lost it in the midst of injustice. For family members that are hurting and struggling. I like how Pastor Frank said it. Utilizing and using the name of those individuals for George Floyd's family. Could you notice everyday blessings from others? And then fifth, could you ask God to make you aware of a grouchy attitude? Of an irritable self. Realize it. Accept that it's there within you. Confess that. Turn away from it and replace it with thankfulness. Could you thank people who bless you? Could you thank people who invest in you? Could you bless others? Could you live out the story of God and mission and bless others? I mean, how, with the downtown businesses, with those whose lives have been hurt and struggled last night, would you might bless? How might you bless those whose lives have gone through injustice? How might you bless those whose lives are spending or sitting around you this morning? And could you spend time with grateful people and allow them to encourage you and convict you when you're not living with a state of rejoicing and gratefulness and inspire you? Could we together make Thanksgiving a priority in our communication with God? Could we be story form? Could we focus on the entirety of God's story? Could we notice everyday blessings? Might we take the step to become aware? Grouchy attitude. Could we thank people who bless us? Could we bless others? And might we take the step to spend time with grateful people? Great writer, theologian A.W. Tozer said it this way. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poor, but richer for having made it. And Paul writes, and he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You're a follower of Christ. My prayer is that you'll grow to be renewed and restored into the image of Christ, where gratitude becomes an ongoing presence in your life, which reveals the richness of God's grace. If you're not a follower of Christ this morning, you're exploring the things of God. Know that God inspires Paul to write so that those that do know him might share of the goodness of God, the greatness of the Father, and so they might understand that God came to rescue and renew creation. God longs to do that in your life. He longs for gratitude, peace, comfort, joy, love to be within your life. Because of your relationship with Jesus. I know this morning you have so many questions, so many thoughts. Please communicate to us. Send us a text. Give us a call. Email us. And as we get this time to take steps out of sheltering, may we sit together and together rejoice. Pray and give thanks for a Father that loves us so much that He sent His Son. to give his life for us so that we might have a relationship with the one true God. Won't you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your love and grace and mercy. Father, grow us and rearrange us so that we might continually become a people that rejoice, that give thanks, and pray without ceasing. We love you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.